Job chapter 12 tonight. I haven't said a lot about it, but it is in my heart these Sunday nights to look in the book of Job. We started a few weeks ago and kindly looked a little bit at chapter 1 just briefly one Sunday night, and I really didn't know if that was just going to be all the Lord wanted me to do, and He continued to touch my heart. And looked a couple of Sunday nights ago in chapter 3 and looked at some things there about the worst day in Job's life. And the Lord has continued to speak to my heart from this book of Job. And so I want to try to just honor Him. And it is not a chapter by chapter look at it. It is just some thoughts throughout the book that the Lord has touched my heart with, and I just feel impressed to share it with you as they have spoken to my heart and helped me in my life. And I hope that it will for you also as we look at these things. In Job chapter 12, I want to look at the first 10 verses and then just share a thought with you tonight. For just a little bit of time. In Job chapter 12, verse 1, "And Job answered and said, No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just, upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." Job's three friends came at the latter part of chapter 2, and they sat with him 7 days and 7 nights without saying a word when they saw the grief that Job was in. But finally, they began to speak and they began to analyze the situation of Job's life. And Eliphaz was the first that began to speak to Job. And I want to take just a couple of moments and flip back. And if you'll look with me, it may help us understand what they thought about the problems of Job. In chapter 4 and verse number 8, you'll find that Eliphaz says this, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." He was accusing Job of sin. He was saying, "Job, the reason that you're where you are is because you have sown iniquity. You have planted sin, and you are going to reap what you sow." Well, what Eliphaz said is right, that you reap what you sow. You sow to wickedness, and you're going to reap in that sin. But he is wrong about the situation of Job. He is saying, "Job, you are where you are because of sin." Well, Job in chapter 6 and 7 responds unto Eliphaz, and tries to tell him that's not the situation of his life. But then in chapter 8, you'll find Bildad begins to speak. And in verse 13 of chapter 8, Bildad says, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish." He said, "Job, the problem is you're a hypocrite. You have pretended righteousness, and that you're a hypocrite, and that's why you're facing what you're facing." Well, Job responds to him in chapters 9 and 10. And in chapter 11, Zophar, he speaks up. And in verse 3, he says, "Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed?" Zophar says, "Job, you're lying. You're saying that everything is all right between you and God, but you're just telling a lie. There is something wrong in your life between you and God, and you've just not owned up to it." And Job responds to that in chapter 12. As a matter of fact, what Job says is actually in response to what all three of them have said to him in his life and in his heart. You see, their conclusion was, "Job, there is some sin hidden in your life, and because of that, you are suffering because of your sin." And I'll be honest with you tonight, there are times that people suffer because of sin in their life. I'll not deny that tonight. I'll not say it doesn't happen. There are times that people suffer because of sin in their lives and in their hearts. But it's not the case for Job. You and I have been able to be privy to what has happened in heaven. How that Satan came to God and he had considered Job, and God allowed him to touch the life of Job and do all that he did. You see, Job begins to respond. Look for a moment at what Job says in verse 2 and 3. "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I'm not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these?" Job said, "I'll admit you're wise. I'll admit that you are making a good case for what you're saying." Job is saying, "I also have understanding. I also know a few things. And what you're saying is something we all know, that at times people do suffer because of sin in their lives." He goes on in verse 4, and he said, "I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just upright man is laughed to scorn. He is ready to slip with his feet. His feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease." Job said, "You have mocked me, you have scorned me, and you have looked at my life, analyzed my life, and picked out what you thought is the problem." He said, "It's like a torch that somebody uses to light their pathway. And when they don't need the torch anymore, they just cast it aside." And he said, "That's how I feel, that you are at ease. And you at one time drew encouragement from my life, but now I feel like you've just cast me aside and you don't need me anymore." Job said, "That's how I'm feeling in my life." As a matter of fact, in verse 6, he said, the tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. Job said, as a matter of fact, you know as well as I do, that the wicked at times prosper, and the ungodly at times, they're secure. He said, because God has been merciful unto them. You know what, tonight, that is something that all of us struggle to understand. It's hard to understand why we try to live right and serve and honor God and live for Him, and we struggle to get by, and we look out there and we see the ungodly, how they live and how they are secure, how they prosper in their lives, and we try to understand that. Job said, God has given them that goodness in their life and their heart. That's why they are where they are. That's why they prosper. But verse 7 through 10 is where I'm wanting to go. Job tells us something in verses 7 to 10 tonight, that if you and I will ever get a hold of this truth in our heart, and you and I will anchor ourselves to this truth, it'll help every one of us through the storms and the troubles and the trials of life. Look again at what Job said. But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall tell thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Job said, look at nature. Look at the fishes of the sea. Look at the earth. Look at the beast, and see the fowls of the air, and let them teach you this truth. What is it? Look at verse 9. Who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. You say, what was Job saying? Job says that you can see God's hand in everything in your life. Job was, and that's the truth tonight, you and I better get. Job was saying, if you and I can understand tonight, if we can get a hold of the truth tonight in our lives, that God's hand is at work in everything in our life, that whatever comes our way, that whatever touches our life, that whatever comes to my house and to your house and my life and your life, it comes from the hand of God. Job admits he doesn't understand. I told you last time in chapter 3, time and time again, Job said, God, I don't understand why. I don't understand why. Why is it this way? But Job now says, God, I understand this. I don't understand all about it. I don't have all the answers. But I do believe this, that everything that has come my way has come from the hand of God. You and I can ever one time anchor to that truth, it'll change how we deal with the troubles and the trials and the sorrows and the difficulties of life. We may not always understand God's purpose. We may not always comprehend His way. We may not always understand why. But we can always know that somehow God is at work in our lives and in our hearts. What I see in these verses is that you and I can see the hand of God in everything that comes our way. Job said, you go to the fowls of the air. You go to the fish of the sea. You look at the earth. You look at everything. You'll come away with the understanding that God's hand is involved in everything that comes through this world. You see, there are those tonight would like to tell us that this thing is just a random form of matter. That this earth came about like it is. That it is just an evolutionary process. And it is what it is by chance and by accident. But Job said, I understand one thing, though I may not have it all figured out, and though I may not completely know what God is doing in my life, I do believe this, that His hand is at work, that God is in charge of all things, and He is accomplishing His plan and His purpose and His will in my life and in my heart. David said in Psalm 139, he said, where can I go to get away from God? He said, if I take a flight to the ends of the earth, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. He said, wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, the hand of God is there in my life and in my heart, and you are at work in my life. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he said, who shall separate us from the love of God? He said, will tribulation or peril or nakedness or sword or famine? He said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything will ever separate me from the love of Christ. Paul said, God's hand is at work in everything that touches my life. I want you to know tonight, you and I can see God's hand in everything. I'm going to give you four things, and I'll be done. First of all, you and I can understand that God is with us in the good times of life. Do you realize when everything is going well, when success is there, all the bills are paid, everything is running fine, the sun is shining, and everything seems to be going our way, you can realize and know tonight that's the good hand of God upon your life. Hey, whenever the job is all right, and whenever things are looking up, and things are going well, and you can go to the pantry and open it up and pull out a can of beans if you want it, or a can of hominy if you like it. I can't stand hominy. I can't stand the thought of it and the smell of it. Alice likes it. But if you can pull out a can of hominy and open it up and eat it, understand it's the good hand of God on your life and on your heart, that God has blessed you in such a way. Do you realize tonight that it's often when things are well, it's often when things are running smooth, that we begin to take the blessings of God for granted? There are times that you and I just kind of think, well, we got it from our hard work. We bought it with our paycheck. And we've got it with our doings. And we tend to forget that it was God that blessed us in such a way. But I believe Job was saying this. He was saying, I realized when I had it good, when I had livestock, when I had family, when I had good things, it was God that blessed me in such a way. I'm telling you tonight, in the good times, that God's hand is at work in our lives. You can see the hand of God in the good times. You realize that it's often whenever we lose things, then we realize just what we had. Oh, listen, often we take prosperity for granted till we lose it. And then we realize what we had. Somebody said one time, kindly coined the phrase or the idea that you don't miss the cold drink of water till the well runs dry. And that's how it is. You don't think about going to the faucet and getting you a cold cup of water and drinking it until you go one day and flip the faucet and nothing comes out. We take the blessings of God at times for granted in our lives. We often take our health for granted and then we lose it and realize how precious it was. We often take loved ones for granted, and sometimes we just don't know how to tell them we love them until they're sick or dying, and then we realize how precious they are. We don't think about what somebody means to us until they're snatched out of this world, and then we think, my, I wished I'd have told them that I loved them. I wished I'd have told them that I cared. I wish I'd have told them how important they were. We'll take those things for granted until they're gone. The good things of God, we'll take fellow Christians for granted until they're called home. There are churches tonight that'll take pastors for granted until God moves them to another place. There are pastors tonight who'll take churches for granted until they lose the opportunity of service there. I'm just telling you tonight, there are times that you and I take the blessings of God for granted until they're gone. Job said, you know what? I look back and I realize in those good times it was God. You say, preacher, right now, as far as I know, everything's good. I'm healthy. There's no sickness going on, really, in my life. I'm able to pay my bills and got a good home, got a good car, got a good family. And as far as I know, everything is well. You ought to thank God for that. You ought to rejoice in that and realize that's the good hand of God on your life and on your heart. Listen, it is from the Father of lights that we have every good and perfect gift. Listen, the blessings tonight, you're probably like I am. You're probably going to go home after a while and sit down in air-conditioned house and maybe eat a bite of supper and lay down on a good bed tonight and get some rest. You ought to thank God tonight that He's blessed you with what you have. Listen, He's with us in the good times of life. It's the blessings of God on our hearts. All things are well tonight. You ought to thank Him for that. Somewhere before you lay your head on the pillow tonight, you ought to just say, Lord God, I thank You for what I've got, what You've blessed me with. He's with us in the good times. But this is also telling us that He's with us in the trying times of life. You understand tonight when you and I face those difficult days and days of disappointment, that He is with us even in those times as well. You think about the life of Joseph. I guess it pictures it so greatly how that Joseph was sold by his brothers into the Ishmaelites' hand. They took him, put him in a pit for a while, and then they sent him down into Egypt. He was there in Potiphar's house for a while. And while he was there, he was lied about by Potiphar's wife. He ended up in prison. And there, while he was in prison, God blessed him. And finally, one day, he got out of prison and he got promoted over the land just under Pharaoh himself. There come a day, his brothers came down in days of famine, and they were afraid when he finally revealed himself. They were afraid he was going to punish them, and he had already rights to. He could have done that. But you know what he said unto his brothers in Genesis 45? Three times he said, God sent me before you. It's God that sent me down here. It's not you that sent me hither, but God did it. He realized the hand of God was there in the trials of life. Oh, listen, I'm glad to know tonight that in the dark days and the difficult days, in the trying days, in the days of heartache and sorrow, that God's hand is at work in my life. He is going to be with me in the trying times of life as well. He's not just with me in the good times. Thank God tonight He's with me in the trying times. Amen. Look back over your life, and I guarantee you tonight, you'll see the hand of a sovereign God at work in your life, bringing you to where you are. I look back on days when my heart was heavy. I look back on days that my heart was broken. I look back on days that I thought, God, how am I going to get through this? I look back and I see things. I thought, God, I don't see a way. But I look back and I see the sovereign hand of God, how He brought me through it all, how He worked in my life, how He guarded my life and kept me and brought me to where I am tonight. It's the good hand of God in the good times, but yet in the trying times of life. Job said it's His hand. Through all the rough places, through all the valleys, through the disappointments, through the dark days, through the discouraging times, when you feel like you're going to give up and can't go on, I'm glad He's there to help us and see us through the trying times of life. He's not only with us in the good times and the trying times, but I'm glad tonight He's with us in the rebellious times of life. You say, preacher, the rebellious times. How many of us tonight would have to admit and say, preacher, there's been some times that I've walked at a distance from Him. How many of us tonight would have to admit and say, preacher, there's been some times that I got astray. I wandered off from the things of God. And I hadn't always lived like I ought to live. Hadn't always done like I ought to done. Oh, listen, every one of us, if we're honest tonight, if you've been saved long, you've spent some days in the hog blocks like the prodigal. There's been times in our life that we got out there and got away from God and got cold on Him. You say, preacher, there's been some times that I've been sitting right in church, but yet my heart was way out yonder and I wasn't where I ought to be. And there's no doubt some right here that you got out of church. There were some times you got away from God and you weren't walking right and living right and serving God right. But thank God He was with you even in the rebellious times. He knew when you was in the hog lot. He knew when you was in the far country. He knew right where you was at. Thank God, even in the rebellious times, He's with us. Boy, there's been some moms and dads, no doubt, have laid awake some sleepless nights over sons and daughters and wondered where they is at. Oh, but there was a God in heaven that was with them and knew right where they were and what was going on in their life and the situation that they were in. Thank God tonight, even in the rebellious times, I'm glad He's with us. In those times that I've walked away from Him, in those times that I've failed Him, in those times that I didn't deserve His mercy and His love and His care, thank God His hand has been there with me through it all. I look back today at some times in my life and I say, Lord God, if Your hand wouldn't have been on me, I wouldn't be here. I look back into some things of my life and say, Lord God, I remember right there was a point in my life that you was a watching over me and you was a taking care of me and you was keeping me safe, and I maybe didn't appreciate it and I didn't think about it. But now, Lord God, in those rebellious times, I'm glad His hand was watching over my life. Can you think of a time when you were out yonder? Can you think of a time when you weren't where you ought to be out yonder in rebellion against God? Thank God, even in the rebellious times, He was a watching over your life. That's what Job is saying. Job's saying, you know, in the good times, it was the good hand of God. He is saying now in the trying times, it's the good hand of God at work in my life. I don't understand it all, but God is working in my life, even in the rebellious times of life. But could I even say this, and I'm done? Even in the insignificant times of life, He's with us. You say, preacher, what do you mean insignificant times? You know, we expect Him to be there in the crisis situations. You know, whenever you've gotten the bad news, when you've heard the bad report, or you've heard of some difficult thing that's come, we know, we say, Lord, I know You'll be there when the things have all gone bad. Do you realize He's interested in just everything that you go through in life? He's interested in you when you get up to eat breakfast in the morning. He's interested in you whenever you're riding down the road going to work. He's interested in you while you're pulling that fabric or you're working on that computer. He's interested in you when you're traveling from here and there. He's interested in you when you're washing dishes. He's interested in you when you're mowing the grass. He's interested in you when you're washing the car. He's interested in you when you're laying down at night to take rest. I'm glad in the insignificant times of life, I'm glad His hand is at work in my life and in my heart. Even in the ordinary things of life, He's interested in them. I read about a preacher saying one time that he had a young man come to him. And he said, preacher, do you think God's interested in whether I have a girlfriend or not? And the preacher said, why, yes, He is. I want to tell you, He's interested in those little old simple things of life that you think God wouldn't be interested in. He's interested in your life and in mine. Oh, don't you think for an instant tonight all He cared about was saving you back yonder and taking you to heaven one day? He is interested in everything that touches your life. He's interested in everything that comes your way. It may not be a big deal to other people, but God in heaven cares about you. Amen. I remember, and I've said it before, I remember Jesus saying one day in teaching, talking about those sparrows, He said one time in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 10, He said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. You realize God didn't say, or Jesus didn't say, consider the eagles. Did you realize God didn't say that? He didn't say, think about the eagles. He said, think about the sparrows. Why? Because those sparrows were considered small and insignificant. They weren't important to people. As a matter of fact, there's another place that He talked about how that you could get five sparrows for the price of four. He talked about those sparrows weren't important to a lot of people. But you know what He said? They're important to the Heavenly Father. He knows about the sparrow, and not one of them falls without Him. He knows all about you tonight. He's interested. You may say, well, they don't nobody care about me. They don't nobody care what I do, where I go, what I'm facing. There's a God in heaven who does. He cares so much about you that He numbered every hair on your head. Amen. Now, there's some of you here tonight, you've got a whole lot more of them than I got. But it doesn't matter if you've got a half a dozen or if you've got 5,000. He knows every one of them. He's got them numbered. He's got them numbered. Next time you're washing your hair and you see one of them in the sink, you can say, well, the Lord marked that one off the list because it's gone now. He knows every hair. You say, preacher, that's insignificant and small, but that's what He tells us. He cares about us. Like, He knows those things. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. I'm glad His hand is with me at work in my life, in the good times, in the trying times, in the rebellious times, even in the insignificant times of life. Job believed that so much that he said over in chapter 13 and verse 15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job said, I'm so confident in him. I'm so confident that he is at work in my life. I don't understand it all. Job never did get all the answers. He did finally see things a little differently over in chapter 42, but he didn't get all the answers. But Job said this. He said, I know the hand of God's at work in my life. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You say, well, that was a pretty important statement. It is whenever you consider this. Job's life was all he had left. He had lost his family. He had lost his finances. He had lost all of his possessions. All Job had left was life. Matter of fact, he lost his health. He had boils all over his body. Job, all he had left was his life. But he said, even if he takes that, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Somebody made the statement one time, said, even if you can't trace his hand, you can trust his heart. And I believe that with all of my heart tonight. There are times you and I may not be able to figure out what he's doing by his hand, but you can trust his heart. You know that he cares, and you know that he's with you in everything that comes your way. Job said in these verses an astounding truth. He said, you can look at the earth, you can look at the birds, you can look at the animals, you can look at the fish of the sea. And he said, you're going to have to understand, even they teach us that the hand of God hath wrought this. It's God that's at work. Job said, I don't understand it all. I can't figure it all out. But he said, I do believe this with all of my heart. Whether it was good times, bad times, whether it's rebellious times, whether it's little unimportant things that people may see in life, God's hand is at work in my life. And I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. There may be some things tonight that you just don't understand in your life. There may be some things you're just not sure about in your life. I challenge you to not get a hold of that truth, or let that truth get a hold of you. And realize that whatever is coming in your life, whatever's going on in your life, if it is the hand of a sovereign God at work in your situation and in your life, He cares about you in the good times. He cares in the trying times. If you're in the rebellious times, He still cares about you. And even in those seemingly insignificant times, He's still interested in your life and in your heart. That's what God's put on my heart for tonight. That's what He touched my heart with tonight. I'm not going to give an invitation. Don't feel impressed in my heart to give an invitation tonight. But that's what He said to share with you. Oh, I'm glad tonight. I'm glad tonight, even in those times that we don't understand, even in those times we can't figure it all out, there is the hand of God at work in our lives. Listen tonight. I'm going to say this and we're going to the house. You may be in some of those good times tonight. You may be in some of those times you'll say, preacher, as far as I know, all's well for me and mine tonight. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. You realize that it's come because of the gracious hand of God to your life and to your heart. And you thank Him. And you praise Him. As I said a while ago, there's a lot of folk don't appreciate things till they're gone. And then they begin to realize what they had. All you realize, God's been good. And you praise His name for it. Praise His name for it. Let's stand to our feet.